Last time, finally, I finished the derivation of entropy. Okay, in this information way, and said that, well, entropy, as Shannon proved, has to have the following form. Okay, and again, just if information has this these very reasonable intuitive properties that whatever you find out, it doesn't matter in the order that you find it out, then and is a continuous function, it has to have this form. Okay, so I'm going to do a little digression now, one that has nothing to do with dynamics. Just to relate it to the statistical mechanical ensembles, but if I do it properly, it will be a short digression. And then I will talk a little bit about, when it comes up in dynamics, okay? Because it turns out that something very closely related to the entropy, which I will introduce, in a very, sometimes it's the entropy, but I'm going to generalize it slightly so it's more generally applicable. That there are certain dynamics where it's always increasing. And if you have something that's always increasing, then that's a very strong constraint on the dynamics. And so that's why it's worth bringing up in the dynamical context. But as I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with a digression. And let's just say, what did I call it? I called it something. Well, we'll just say it's about the statistical mechanical ensembles. Okay, so, and the guy who's really wrote lots and lots of articles about this in the 60s, he actually had a whole research program that I would say, in the end, it's sort of interesting to read, but it never really, he was, well, I'll tell you, okay, so what he did is, the derivation I'll show you was, he was pushing, but he was trying to push it as a way of describing non-equilibrium systems, okay? The principle, which I'll get into, of the point of the statistical mechanical ensembles is that given what you know about them, which say, in the canonical ensemble, you know the number of particles, and you know the volume, and you know the temperature. The ensemble tells you that the probability distribution itself maximizes what you don't know. Okay, it's the missing, it's about missing information. Okay, and what I'm going to do for you in the next few minutes is just showing that that is true. Okay, and then in the end, what will happen is that every time you see an exponential in the future, you should immediately say, oh, well, maybe, there's some entropy-like thing happening. Okay. But he actually wanted to generalize it because that principle of you're maximizing the missing information is something that does not, it's not a statement about equilibrium or not. It can be applied in lots of contexts. And he was trying to argue that you could really sort of do all of non-equilibrium, do a lot on non-equilibrium systems. And I would say that that train of thought, Prigogine went to, there's a guy named Prigogine who did a lot on these lines, but right now it's not so popular, okay? But, so I'm not going to talk to you about it, partly because it's not something I've worked on extensively, but you'll see the nice slickness of the ensembles is such that, I think it's something that you should know and realize that this is an approach to non-equilibrium dynamics that, at least for a while, people worked on, but they never really got it to work in the sense of, and that's, again, what do you mean by working is, making non-trivial predictions that can be tested by experiment or can be proven mathematically or both. Okay, so, so it's not a hot topic at the moment, but this derivation I think is very useful in terms of giving you a different way of thinking about thermodynamics. Okay, so again, the idea is that the statistical mechanics, mechanical ensembles, are maximally uncertain. Okay. Okay. And this is certainly true. Okay, so then that's why I'm going to do it for you. Okay, so let's consider, and so you've done the microcanonical ensemble and the canonical ensemble, I assume. Okay, so as you know, in the microcanonical ensemble, okay, you have N is fixed, and the energy E is fixed, okay? For every, meaning that for every microstate has the same N and E. So it has N mu equals N E mu equals E. Okay, that's just the definition of the ensemble. And so what we want to do in this maximize what we don't know, okay? So again, what do we do know? We know the energy of every microstate, and we know the number of particles in every maximize. So we say, okay, we maximize, so that means we maximize the entropy. You're wondering where it was coming, but there it is, minus K, sum over all these microstates, P nu, I did it with natural logs here, but again, it doesn't matter. Okay, all right, and minus, oh, subject to the constraint, that the probabilities have to sum to one. Okay, so but we know the number and we know the energy, and so therefore it's not a mystery. Okay, and so this is just a statement that the only thing. So again, what we're doing is we're trying to find the probability distribution that maximizes what we don't know. Okay, and so the way you do this is you say, well, okay, there's a standard thing which I now have you all done Lagrange multipliers? No. Yes. How many? High, so I know how many. Okay. Yes. So it's half and half. So those who have it, I think it's enough that I should do them. They're not very hard. It'll take one extra second. So for those of you who know, great. Okay. So what you do is, so this is a quantity you're looking to maximize. Okay. But again, you've got these constraints, and there's a standard way of doing this is you say, well, okay, so the thing you want to maximize is minus K P mu log P mu. Okay, and then the thing about Lagrange multipliers is they're sort of a miracle. Okay, so you've got this thing, but you've got the constraint, and you know, and how do you do that? So what you do is you put in lambda. Lambda's the Lagrange multiplier, okay? And you say, well, we're going to add zero to it, okay? Okay, and so so this quantity, when you found the right probability distribution, is maximized, okay, for any lambda, because the right probability distribution has a sum of p mu's. Oops, you have the sum. Okay, the sum of the p mu's. Lambda sum of mu, p mu minus 1. Okay. The sum of p mu is always 1, so if you've maximized it and found the right probability distribution, you're golden, okay? For any lambda. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to then maximize this quantity, sort of leaving lambda in there, okay? But then fix lambda. And then we end up with a probability distribution in which the probabilities don't have to sum up for one, except we find the lambda for which it is true. Okay, and then if you do that, you've found the right answer because you've satisfied the constraint and you've maximized this quantity, and there you are. Okay, so that's how it works. All right, and so basically you say, all right, so what we want to do is we say if this is maximized, then the variation of this, when we change all of the p mu's, has to be zero. Okay, and again, it's just like you have a function and you're at the maximum, the derivative is zero, except that, you know, you have a bunch, you know, you have all these different probabilities that you gotta work with together. And so this is why this is called the calculus of variations, okay? Because you're varying all the p's subject to this constraint. Okay, so we have zero is equal to the variation of minus k nu p nu log p nu minus lambda the p nu minus 1. Okay. All right. And so now now again what we mean by this is we want to vary every single one of the possible p's, okay? Cuz we're finding the whole distribution. All right. So let's pick one of the p's. Okay. All right. And so then what we get is zero. We'll leave the zero on the left. Okay. Is equal to. All right. Now this thing is a sum, but we're only varying one of the p's. Okay. And again, once you put this Lagrange multiplier in, like that, the Lagrange multiplier just takes care of your constraint for you, and it fixes it all at the end, and so you can just differentiate without worrying about it anymore. Okay. And so then we just have minus k. And we just have delta pj. It's no longer a sum because when you take this derivative, it depends on only pj. All the other ones, the variation with respect to pj is zero. And then you got to differentiate this thing, and that is equal to. Oops, I forgot the minus k. Well, we'll put it here. Okay, and now I differentiate this thing. So we've got delta pj. We differentiate the first term, so there's a log pj here. Okay, that's taking d by dpj of this thing and taking first this term, but then you have to take pj times the derivative of the log, which is 1 over pj, so this is plus 1. Okay, and now we take the derivative here, and then this is equal to minus delta pj. Okay, and that has to equal zero. And so then you immediately see, then there's one more step. Okay, and so this is equal to delta pj the notes have another misprint in them, I'm sorry. Okay, minus k log pj minus k minus lambda is equal to zero. Okay, sorry about that. All right, so I got to fix the notes again. All right, it's only a concept, but that's fine. Okay, and now the point is that this has to be true for any variation of the delta pj, and so therefore this thing has to be zero. Okay, and so that says that pj, sorry, I'll do it with the log. Log pj is equal to minus 1 plus lambda divided by k. Okay, all right, and so that is that's the variation, and now you say, but now we've got this lambda, and we just put in the lambda. But again, what you do to get rid of lambda is you fix the value of lambda so that the constraint is satisfied. Okay, so so pj is equal to e to the minus 1 plus lambda divided by k. All right, and you have to watch out because the notes, I forgot the k in the notes. Okay, but this is just some constant. It's independent of j. That's the key. So it's the same. It's same for all states, for all j. Okay, so what that means is that this is just the ergodic hypothesis, right? The ergodic hypothesis is if you have, I'll just finish the sentence and I'll let you then. It says that, you know, if the energy is the right energy, the states are equally likely. Okay, yeah. Anything is possible. One.
No, minus. The K and the lambda go on the other side.
K, wait a minute. Again, my notes are wrong. Whenever my notes are wrong, this is a problem. Okay, so it's minus K log Pj plus 1. It's equal to lambda. Okay, so is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, but I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I want to say log Pj plus 1 plus lambda divided by k is equal to 0. Okay, let's do that. So Pj log Pj is equal to, yeah, you're right. Nicely right. And again, my notes, I just did it wrong in my notes. And I have taught this out of my notes, so I think I've taught out of those notes 4 times, and I never noticed if it was wrong before. So I apologize. Either that or I typed them up again, and I must have just messed it up. Okay, so minus 1 plus lambda over k. The problem being, of course, it's just a constant. So it doesn't matter whether you got it right or not, because the next step is you just, normalize. Okay, so this is all, is this good? Okay, sorry about that. All right, so it's the same for all j. So this is just saying, this is the microcanonical ensemble, the usual thing, it's your ergodic hypothesis. And so then, again, but now we got to get rid of lambda, and then you fix lambda by
making the thing satisfy the constraint. Okay, so we have basically n, the number of states. Well, it's not, we have n particles, so we'll call it omega, the number of microstates times e to the minus 1 plus lambda over k is equal to 1, and then you solve for lambda and you're done. Okay, do you want me to solve for lambda? I mean, I'll mess it up anyway. You might as well just solve for lambda yourself. Okay, so so again, pk p nu is equal to a constant. Okay, so that's not so exciting, but it turns out you can do exactly the same thing and and get the canonical ensemble, and it works just as well. Okay, so what I'm going to do is start here, and I have to do the next case because you want to see the you need to see the characteristic exponential coming up. Okay, so now let's do the canonical ensemble. Canonical ensemble. And there, you no longer fix the energy of all the microstates to be the same, but rather you say that the average energy, which is equal to nu, p nu, e nu, is equal to something. Okay? And that's going to, that's essentially what happens when you fix the temperature. So you maximize this, okay? So again, we're maximizing the entropy subject to the constraint that the probability sum to 1, which seems pretty good. And then, but also, we are, all right, well, I have minuses in my notes. So at this point, I'm going to put minuses in my notes. And, well, my notation is different, but it's okay. And then here we have sum over nu, p nu, e nu, minus e. Oh my God, everything is wrong in these notes. Okay, and that has to be maximized. Okay, so it's exactly what we had before. We're maximizing entropy subject to the constraint of the probability sum to 1, and the energy is E, the mean energy is E, okay? And we just do the same thing as before, okay? So what happens is you say 0, and again, the typos are, I can't believe all these typos, I apologize. But they're less than they were before I proofread them, but that did not solve the problem. Okay, so 0 is equal to delta of this, okay? Well, I'll just do it. Minus k p nu log p nu minus lambda 1 nu p nu minus 1 minus lambda e p nu e nu minus e. Okay? For any variation, so let's vary delta pj for some j. And again, what you find is that delta pj of, okay, we've got minus k log pj minus k. Okay, again, because you take, you're taking derivative of p log p, which is equal to log p plus 1. Okay, and then we've got minus lambda 1 delta pj. Okay, so I pulled the delta pj out, minus lambda e delta pj is equal to 0. Okay? Is that correct? Delta 1 plus lambda. No, it's not correct because of this. Okay? Because again, I take d by dpj, and there's an e there. Okay? So there you go. Okay? All right. And so now, this has to be true for all variations of delta pj. Yeah?
Yes, it should.
Ej. Sorry. Okay. Okay, and again, now this has to be true for all variations of delta p, and so therefore that implies that log pj is equal to, and let's put all these things on the other side, minus 1 minus lambda not 1 minus lambda e ej. And that is just, and so then let's just exponentiate it. Pj is equal to some constant times e to the minus lambda e ej. Okay, so the constant is minus 1 minus lambda 1. But again, we're going to just fiddle with the we're going to fiddle with lambda 1 and lambda 2 so that the constraints are satisfied, so they don't depend on e. Okay, so I lost some, what? K. Yes, I did. Where am I going to put them? I don't care. See, the thing is that K, and because of the lambda, I know they don't matter. But you're right, we need a K. So let's just fix this up. Minus log pj minus 1 minus lambda 1 divided by K minus lambda. Okay, so lambda 1 is divided by K. Lambda e is divided by K. Okay. But again, what happens is if the trick is dropping the right thing, right? Because I'm just going to, if you make the mistake in the right place, it doesn't matter. Because again, the lambdas are fixed by the constraint, right? So if you are off by factor, then you get the right thing in the end, which is why, since I know what the answer is, this is why I can't find these errors very well. Okay. All right. So anyway, so here I am. I'm back to saying, this is really sad, but it's true. I mean, my K is, wow. All right. Anyway, so let me just go up here. Pj is equal to C e to the minus lambda E divided by K times Ej. Okay. And now you sort of, you see it coming, right? It's constant E to the minus beta Ej. But I want to show you that it actually is Ej times beta. And so to do that, you need to put in another moving part, okay? It's just some constant that we're going to fix. But in order to know that this is related to the temperature, I need to note the definition of temperature, okay? And again, temperature is defined in thermodynamics in terms of the entropy, okay? And we started with entropy, and so therefore it's legit, okay? So T is equal to the change in the mean energy as you change the entropy holding V and N fixed. And this is the right ensemble, right? Because I'm holding my volume and number fixed, okay? And this is actually where the volume comes in. I mean, so in case you were wondering, you're like, I'm doing all this in a fixed volume ensemble, but where did that come in? It came in the fact that the energies, particularly you think quantum mechanically, right? You know, you have your box. If you increase the size of the box, then the allowed energy eigenvalues actually change. Okay, so as you increase your box adiabatically, you change the actual values of the E nu. So the fact that when I took my derivatives, the E nu didn't change is where my fixed volume was hidden. Yeah.
And all the other parameters are just like labels, like things assigned to microstates?
Yeah.
Okay, so they don't have to mean anything.
Right. Right. So, but it comes in here, because here in thermodynamics, when you find work, then work is defined by pressure times change in volume. So
at this point is where the volume enters, just to be clear. Okay. And so so then you look at this thing, and then okay. And so again, for this variation, the energies of all the states are fixed, and all the variations come from changing the probabilities p nu. Okay. And so therefore, you have any change in the energy. Okay. So I'm looking at this thing now. Okay. So I have my probability distribution. I'm using that probability distribution to calculate my mean energy, and then I'm varying it in the usual way. Okay. And that's equal to sum over nu p nu e nu. Okay. And now at this point, I'm using fixed volume, because I'm saying when I do my variation, I'm not letting the energies of the microstates change, and so that's E nu delta P nu, okay? And, okay. Okay, so that's the numerator of this thing, okay? Then I need the denominator of this thing, okay? And that's equal to the variation of minus K P nu log P nu. Okay, and then I'll because I'm out of board, take this derivative, and it's equal to minus K sum over nu log P nu delta P nu. Okay? All right, and again, what here, it's log P nu plus 1, but because the probabilities are summed to 1, the second term goes away. Okay, and so, and again, all I'm doing here is I'm just showing you that this coefficient is 1 over kBT. Okay, the functional form has already been determined. Okay, and so now what I'm going to do is just then plug in this divided by this into the formula for the temperature. Okay, and T is then equal to delta, all right, well, and say here that, you know, and again, the temperature is in terms of the one Lagrange multiplier. Okay, so let's go up here. Delta T is equal to delta E divided by delta S. Okay, holding V and N fixed. And that is equal to, okay, and we did the numerator and the denominator, E nu delta P nu divided by K. Sum over all the states. Okay, and so now I'm taking the delta S. What did I do to delta S? Oh, it's right here. Okay. Oh, let me write this just because I have it. Lambda 2 sum over nu E nu delta. Did I do this? Lambda 2. I have a sort of, no, this is right. Delta. Oh, this is just, what the hell am I doing? Delta S long. Yes. It's here. The problem is here. Delta S. I needed to differentiate this thing. God, I'm sorry about this. Delta S is, yes, I never differentiated this thing. Log P nu plus 1 delta P nu. Oh, no. I take this, log P nu, and it's equal to this. That is differentiated, because when you take, all right, let me do this. Okay, so when I take d by dpj, dp, yeah, we'll do a pj. Okay, so it's equal to log pj plus 1. All right, and then you do delta pj. Okay, but the 1 goes away. Okay, but I'm just plugging this in here. Or I'm plugging this in there. Okay. And so then this is equal to, let me go back. Okay. K sum over nu Okay, and then it's this thing. 1 plus lambda 1 divided by k plus lambda 2 divided by k, E nu, delta P nu. Okay. All right. And so now, again, all the terms that have constants in them sum to 0 because the sum of the probabilities is fixed to be 1. Okay. So then, therefore, this is equal to nu, E nu, delta P nu, divided by k, lambda 2, nu, E nu, delta P nu. Okay. And the sum in the numerator and the sum in the denominator are equal, and so this is equal to 1 over k lambda 2. The k I messed up before comes in right there, and so that's equal to 1 over lambda 2. Okay, I messed up k at some point, all right, but, and lambda 2 is lambda e, sorry. Lambda E, 1 over lambda E. Okay. And again, there's a K floating because I know I messed up the K. Okay. So anyway, this is correct, okay, in terms of the idea. The question is, I had this K that I messed up at an early stage, and I'm not going to fix it on the fly. Okay. So what happens is, again, you just look at, you've got this probability form here, okay? You know what the functional form of the probability is, but you still have to determine the Lagrange multipliers. The first one I've hidden in this thing C, okay? And so again, the normalization of the probability always will, is always there. It's hidden in C, which I haven't determined, which in statistical mechanics we never determine, right? We just call that thing Z, and we call it the partition function. We just normalize it by hand. But again, in thermodynamics, we have e to the minus beta e, and that one comes out by looking at the energy constraint. And there, you have to somehow define what you mean by temperature, okay? And then you just work it through, and it comes out that it's equal to 1 over kT. Okay, so again, this is correct except for the K, which I will go back and fix. All right, so the point is that whenever you have an exponential distribution, so again, you know that in the canonical ensemble, the probability of a given state is equal to e to the minus beta e nu, okay? That's what comes out of the calculation, all right? And it's already here. It's quite general, okay? So what happens is that that's sort of generic for maximizing information, exponentials are, okay? And so they come up in all sorts of contexts. All right, sorry about the algebra, but it's the story of my life. Okay, so this took longer than I thought. All right, but that was just a little digression. I can say also, this comes up a lot where you see exponentials and you want to know the significance. And this is one possible significance of exponentials. All right. So what I want to do now is to go back on the track. And again, where I'm headed with this is,
It looks like we found lambda e by doing something with this thing that we introduced.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, we were promised that we would find lambda e to satisfy those constraints.
Oh, so yes. Oh, the point being, thank you. Well, you are, okay? In the sense of when this thermodynamic identity is, I guess the way of thinking about it is, I'm going to sort of harken back to your thermo, is the average energy in a system is, if you know that, you know the temperature. Okay, and we're used to saying but what we did is we did it by saying, if you know the temperature, then you know the mean energy is 3/2 kT, say. Okay, so what I could do is at this point I could just say, okay, well, we fixed lambda e so that this is true, and then you'll get an expression in terms of the mean energy. Okay, but in order to make it look more like what you're used to seeing, okay, what we did is we actually introduced the temperature to make it so it looks exactly like what you see usually, e to the minus beta e. Okay, and there, given that, then you've seen this before, and I forgot the constant. Okay, and you know that the mean energy is 3/2 kT, say. Okay, so that's what happened, is that here it relates it explicitly to the standard formula, as opposed to, you know, lambda E than you could get in terms of the mean energy, but this is sort of nicer because then it looks exactly like the canonical ensemble.
You can find lambda based on average E and then define T in terms of the lambda.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You could do A by only.
Or, sort of mandate a relationship between T and lambda and then set that the entropy constant so that that relation is true?
No, okay. That's not the way to think about it. Oh, so the point is that we've computed, we've maximized, so we start with the definition of S. Okay, we say, so in this way of thinking about it, S is more fundamental than normal. Okay, we start with the definition of S. Okay, so then we say, okay, given a bunch of states with energies, like each state has an energy. Then what you do is you can say, given a so given that we've done this, we say, all right, and now we'll maximize S for a fixed mean, you know, maximizing the entropy for a fixed value of the average expectation of the energy. Okay, so what we've done is when we get to this point, at some level we're done. Okay, except we haven't actually, you know, found lambda E. Okay, but we could go and do that. But let's just say we've done that. Okay. So then we say, okay, but we know from thermodynamics that the temperature is defined as this. And this we started.
Right. And we say, okay, well, given we change E, how much did S change by? Okay. And then if we've done that, that defines the temperature. Okay. And so we haven't assumed anymore. We're just showing, in some sense, we're just showing that it all works. But yes. And okay. Yes.
Finding them.
Right. That's exactly right. And so again, we can go back and do it, but it, you know, again, I close the loop in the standard way of it's not. I mean, I've done this in the book, but the standard thing is that, again, you're you're taking this
and then you're showing that it corresponds to what you knew all along. Okay. But right, you could do this and take lambda E and you know, but then it would yeah. But you still want to show that yeah. Okay. Because somewhere you have to introduce temperature, if you see what I mean. Somewhere you have to say what the relationship between temperature and mean energy is. Okay, and so I did it here, which is, actually this particular derivation is ripped off from, there's a book by Chandler where he does it. Okay. All right, so that's what I want to say about this. And again, it was just a little detour, which has nothing to do with dynamics, but sort of, and again, you know, but the original hope of James when he was doing this is he was hoping it would be, you know, sort of a general prescription for handling dynamics. But I think it's fair to say that, you know, right now that's not a line that people are really believing in. But I think it's a really nice way of interpreting, you know, why things come out the way they do, if for no other reason, if nothing else. Okay, so where I'm going with this, just so you know, again, is that it turns. Oh, yeah.
So here you use the information arguments to like get at the probability distributions for the ensembles, which like normally you can talk like they're equilibrium distributions.
Sorry.
So these things, like when you talk about these ensembles, they're the equilibrium probability distributions.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, why was there ever any hope that it would have anything to do with dynamics? Since like these distributions normally.
So what he was doing is he said, well, all right, it's. It's in all we knew about, or at least I'll give you a little bit of James' philosophy. Okay, so he says, well, here all we know is like the energy and the number. Okay,
he says, but suppose we knew instead of that, we knew like at some time it was out of equilibrium and we had a characterization of, you know, sort of, you know, a characterization of some properties that guaranteed the system was not in equilibrium. Okay, then you say, well, it's going to approach equilibrium somehow. So this is like the simplest case, all right? And you say, well, it's going to approach equilibrium somehow. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, again, assume that at all stages, the system is in a state that is maximally uncertain given what we know about it. Okay. And what we know about it was that at some previous time, there were variables that were, you know, or imagine we have like temperature one and temperature two, and then, you know, and then we do this, and then he says, and then the idea is that the dynamical evolution is just maximally uncertain given the constraint that it was what it was at some previous time. Okay. And I'd say that, you know, one of the problems is that, you know, it's sometimes intractable. Okay. Yeah. But then the other thing is that also there's a lot of, like, non-equilibrium things that can't really, you know, are just not easy to set up in that kind of formalism. And then you don't even know for sure that it's true. Okay. And but other than that, it worked great. But this idea that sort of entropy is fundamental and there might be a way. Did I answer your question? You understand what I'm talking about? That in some previous time, there were other constraints that guaranteed you were not in thermodynamic equilibrium, and now you want to approach it, and that as you relax the constraints, you still have to be consistent with the fact that, you know, 1 second ago, this was the ends were two different temperatures, and you can imagine quite easily. I mean, you can see how you could set up the problem of maximizing information subject to that constraint. That a second ago, it was in some state that was, you know, far from equilibrium. Okay, so that was sort of the picture, and it was just one of these things. And again, there was a whole school that was sort of along these lines. But part of the problem was, again, an intractability problem, and then part of it was you weren't sure it was right. And yeah, I mean, it was sort of a, and then a part of the problem was that there were a lot of non-equilibrium systems that it was hard to see how you would set it up, and you know, it just didn't, it just wasn't the point where you could say, oh, okay. Here is something we learned from doing this experimental prediction that can be tested. Okay, you know, so it was always these sort of artificial situations, and it seems like a general principle, but my opinion of it was it didn't quite, I mean, an extremely attractive general principle, but it just never really panned out to the point where, you know, that, you know, I can point to a thing saying, oh, here is a problem that was solved this way. Okay, and, you know, these things are re-derived, but, you know, it's not like I can say, oh, okay, then we did this other thing and it worked so great. You see what I mean? Okay. And again, part of it is that, and this is going to come up again and again. Part of the problem is that if you reach an equilibrium, okay, if you reach an equilibrium, the fact that you've reached an equilibrium is a very powerful statement, okay? And you'll see in the game theory stuff, okay, that, you know, again, by focusing on, you know, Nash equilibrium and evolutionary stable equilibrium and all the different equilibria that could exist, if they exist, then there are actually some pretty strong things you can say, okay? But they don't always exist, and one of the problems that we have in understanding these systems is that if there isn't, you know, a fixed point about which we know how to expand, then we really don't know what to do at the most fundamental level. Okay. And I'd say that's sort of what happened to this, was that, you know, again, if you make it to equilibrium eventually, then you can talk about the approach to equilibrium and do very well defined things. But if you don't, then it's much harder to do things. Okay. So and that's a good lead in to the thing I was going to cover next, which is you know, when entropy type things are very useful in characterizing dynamics. Okay, so that's why I wanted to do the entropy. Sometimes in dynamics you can show that something very closely related to entropy increases. Sometimes it's the entropy, but I'm going to generalize it a little bit to make it more general. Okay. Okay, and so I'm trying to think of the best way to do this. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the dynamics in. So this is in a different order than what's in the notes, but just so you don't have it wandered off into, you know, information theory land, I want you to sort of have some sense of what this has to do with dynamical systems. Okay. So. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this. I'm bringing up transition rate dynamics because they're sort of, the thing I'm going to show you comes up for some models, for some games, okay? When we get, do the game theory and get into evolutionary game theory, then there's, you know, there's going to be an infrastructure that gets set up. And it's going to turn out, under some circumstances, something akin to entropy increases, okay? And this transition rate dynamics that I'm going to introduce to you has exactly, you know, everything is exactly the same, okay? And again, there's no infrastructure of game theory underlying it, so you can sort of see the entropy increasing. But so this comes up later. And this is something that comes up, you know, reasonably generally. Okay, so let me just do a little, let me start it this way. Okay, so so now what we've got is we've got a situation where we've got a system with n states, okay, and it makes transitions between the states, and they're stochastic. Okay. Now, this is also called Markov chains. Okay. So these are like tremendous business. I mean, you know. So this is a, you know, it's a whole class of dynamical systems, but they're very simple in certain ways, okay? And one of the ways that you know they're simple is because there's a thing akin to entropy that you can define that's always increasing. Okay, so, you know, so this is a case where, you know, it's quite, you know, again, you know, sort of quantifying things in terms of entropy turns out to work very well on the dynamical side as well. Okay, but again, as a general framework for all of dynamical systems, I'd say we don't know how to do that. But again, this is a special case when things work, okay, to some degree. Okay, and so there are stochastic transitions between states, and so the time dependence is, okay, d by dt between states. And so they're occupied, I'll define what Pj is in a second. P, this is supposed to be I, is equal to j equals 1 over n, j I j, Pj of t minus j, j I, Pi t. Okay. So, and what you want to know is that Pi of t is the probability that state I is occupied at time t. Okay, and so the picture of the thing is, you can draw, you know, you draw these states, okay, and then there are transitions between them, okay, and you can make a, it's supposed to be 6, okay, so you can make a transition from 1 to 6, or you can make a transition from 6 to 1, and things could be connected or not connected. You can make a graph, and so J, let's see, wait, it's, you're in state J, so this is the one you come from. Okay, so you're, so if you come from 1 and go to 6, it's 6 1, and then this is J 1 6 is the way. Okay, it's obviously a convention, but stripped off from some book, and that's the convention they used. Okay, and then this is J 5 4 and J 4 5, etc. Okay, now it turns out that this is quite, oh yeah.
I see allowing transition from this to this engine, like, I need something without I.
Oh right. Okay, it turns out, and that's a very good question. It turns out that if you do that, it doesn't do anything, right? Oh, so let me just sort of talk about this equation for a second. So what this says is that if I'm in a different state, then I make a probability into state I with some j. Okay? And then if I'm in state I, then I leave state I with some probability j. Okay. So basically I have some population at a certain time. And then I look a little time later, and either I came in from somewhere else, or else I left. Okay, if I make a transition to myself, it's the same as not leaving. So So you can put diagonal terms in here, but if you do, you can see explicitly, like if you have JII, it's JIIPI minus JIIPI, and then it just goes away. But it's, and you'll see certain of the manipulations, we sort of futz around with that. And it's because the dynamical equations don't care whether or not there's a diagonal term. Okay, and so we'll actually allow that to happen sometimes in order to have various mathematical identities that cause everything to come out nicely. Okay, so that's a really good point. Yeah.
You're assuming that it's a fully connected graph.
No. The j's can be zero.
Okay. So and we don't. So this is the thing. We don't assume anything about the j's. So we do assume many things about the j's. Okay. We assume they're independent in time. It turns out there's a lot you can say about j's that do depend on time. I wasn't going to go there, but you know, I've worked. You know, there's a lot you can say, and I happen to know a lot about that. But again, I thought it wasn't as interesting as other things. So if you're bored now, you can imagine being more bored, because there are other things I felt that were more boring that I'm not telling you about. Okay, so but the J's are independent of time, which turns out not to be so important. But the main thing is that the dynamics depend only on the current state, and there's no memory in the dynamics. Okay. So the fact that the d by dt depends only on the current state is critical, and that simplifies things greatly. And then the other thing about it is that it's linear, okay? That the it's linear in p, okay? So that you don't assume anything about j, except that they're real, okay? They're real and positive, right? Okay. And so because again, it's coming in and going out, all right? And so so it's a reasonably general form, and again, used a lot in lots of different contexts. But these are quite restricted dynamics because of that. The linearity in the P's and the lack of memory. Okay. And so it turns out that is enough that lots of there's a lot you can say. And so it turns out that that entropy is continually maximized and things like that. So that is what I'm going to show you next time. Okay. All right. Did I answer all the questions today? I mean, and again, I'm sorry about my algebra, but I used to do algebra better, but now it really sucks.
This is just a master equation. Yes. Okay. And again, what's nice about this is that, you know, sort of by using entropy, you get very, you know, lots of general results. But the fact that entropy always increases, you know, and this is nice, but it's not used for general. Okay. Yeah.